Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Welcome to another Wednesday evening. I am your gracious host, Double D, and you are listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. It is August 1st, 2012, and I'm so excited. You can find me at twitter.com/FolsomCounty. Also with me, as always, it is Dan, the man, the above-average comedian, Dan Law.
Yes, yes, yes. Hello, folks. I'm going to go with that. That's going to be my full name now. I was talking to a certain booker who said I should go the Bobby Shields route and have the full name. So that's it now.
There you go. You can find Dan Law at DanLaw83 on Twitter.
Hey, follow me, please.
And back from special assignment from last week and with a job in radio now, it is Mark Go Thompson.
Yeah, yeah, fancy pants me, huh?
Fancy pants, you're actually doing what we want to do.
I know. It's tough. It was a tough year and a half being out of it, man. But I got to be honest, Dean, you and Dan deserve a huge pat on the back for this because I was like getting a little unmotivated, like getting a little sour about
a little
radio.
Sour about radio.
But, you know, you said, hey, let's do a podcast. Come on, it'll be fun. And I was like, oh, I don't know anything about wrestling, fat, wear T-shirts.
Like, perfect.
That's what our show's about, wrestling, being fat, and wearing T-shirts to the beach.
I think I have another listener. Based on that, I was talking about our target demographic, and he says, hey, wait a second. I wear a T-shirt when I go to the beach.
I feel like every interview we do really has, like, an underlying tone of that, you know?
A little bit.
Like, when we're interviewing Papa Don, it's not like, you know, we're like, oh, man, we're equals with him. We're like, oh, man, if we saw him at the beach, we would cry like children.
Yeah, and I would never take my shirt off, ever.
He would kick sand in our face and steal our woman.
I've already been hit by him twice, so I will never go to the beach with that man.
And somehow you still kissed his foot, so...
And I kissed his foot, and then he hit me twice.
Now, without any further ado, I do want to say subscribe on iTunes. Search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. We did receive another kind review this week. And I know it's from Ron Jones. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah,
well, so, he's, I'll explain off air.
Good looking out.
Good looking out indeed.
He's gay?
No.
Oh.
Far from, my friend.
Oh.
You could say he's a Mac Daddy, you could say. Now,
he's not gay, but that's all right.
We are proudly part of the BradyHicks.com lineup. You can listen to us there right now if you wanted to, or on Blog Talk, or on your smartphone, whatever you want to do. Follow us on Twitter, and that is twitter.com/HIAC Talk Radio. Like the Facebook at facebook.com/CellInAHell. And, of course, you can call in and join the fun here at 718-664-9133.
And don't tell me it's not fun.
All your T-shirt experiences.
Yes, and don't tell me it's not fun because I have a lot of fun doing this show.
Now, we do have a French interruption coming up a little bit pretty soon. Mr. Ooh La La will be here to discuss. This is part one of the series. This is
part one of a 1,000-part series.
Probably.
God, I hope so.
Probably. I'm hoping we can stretch this out as long as we can. Tonight, we're going to talk about him breaking into the business
training, why he even started wrestling. I think that should be interesting.
All kidding aside, what, you got 22 years of experience and stories?
22 years worth, and I hope it takes just that long to get through it all.
I hope so. Yeah, that means I'll be around.
I hope we do a day-by-day recap of his entire career.
And on Tuesday, November 2nd, 1992...
We also have Robert Knight joining us, and he's riled up yet again, has more to talk about.
Wouldn't you be?
What?
Wouldn't you be?
You know what? I think I know what he's talking about. I've seen some things, and so...
Robert Knight needs to start running people over with Kit.
I would think so. We also have Chris Wilde. We finally got him. It's War Games. We're a couple weeks removed, but he's here tonight to talk about that. And we also have, making his first official debut on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, Ricky the Model Martinez. We're also going to be joined by Omega Squad for a little discussion about Raw, for a little USC. And we're also going to have Ryan Big Burgundy checking in about Jersey Shore Championship Wrestling. I know Big Burgundy went. I know someone who didn't go.
Oh. Oh.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
I was so excited to go, too. I really, really
all
was.
I know is I got a text from D to go. I think I texted him first. I don't remember how the conversation was initiated. But all I got was a text that marked it effing show.
I was so excited. Like at one point you texted me, you go, there's beer in the building. I'm like, oh, my God, yes. This is going to be amazing.
I
did it in my Oprah voice.
This is going to be amazing. And you get a beer. And you get a beer.
You know what? I think it's that time, guys.
Wait,
this is going to be a big interruption, and it's going to be French.
Oh, the French interruption. Now we're talking, huh? Ooh, la la! Woo! I'm the champ! Woo!
Hello, monsieur.
Hello, Mr. Ooh la la. It is an honor for you to be here tonight.
Oh, it is an honor. Anybody fix that head of hair of yours yet, there, Monsieur?
No, I haven't fixed it yet, Monsieur. Oh la la! You're here with Double D. You're here with Dan Law. You're here with Mark, and we want to get. I want to say, when you were first watching wrestling, what got you into it? What made you say this is what I want to do?
Oh, I got to tell you, between the Mid-South wrestling with Bobby Jaggers and the Grappler from the, I believe it was the Sportatorium, to being up at the Spectrum in Philadelphia, being dropped off and being five rows from gentlemen like, oh, good God, the Sweet Hansen, who I remember to this day yelling at me after I yelled at him, and I swear he looked me dead in the eye, and he scared me, and that was quite an interruption in itself. But it has started many, many, many years ago, just as a child. I couldn't wait to get home. Back then, as you know, there wasn't much for TV, so whatever you saw, you had to get home and see it live. There was no DVRs. There was no VHS. It was live or nothing, and you had to read about it in the magazines.
Now, you mentioned a couple experiences. What's the match that really set the ball rolling for you? I assume there was one that you said, wow, this is going to start, this is the one that makes me want to do wrestling for the rest of my life.
I have to say it was being live at the Spectrum, five rows from ringside, when I shouted to Sweet Hansen after he took a turnbuckle and it didn't faze him. I shouted, no brain, no pain. But didn't he look straight at me, so I thought. And that set it in motion. My voice mattered, and he heard me, and he scared me.
So fast forward a little bit. I mean, where did you get your start in the business? Where did you train? Who did you train with? And where did it all take place?
Well, it actually started in 1987. It was out in Mount Holly, New Jersey. you know, the other country here, up across this river, and it was with, at the time, it was Buddy Rogers and Pretty Boy Larry Sharp.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, it was a long time ago, and I remember walking in there, and I thought I wanted to be a wrestler, and that was the day that it all began. It started with Sweet Hansen giving me a look that sent chills through me to one day stepping into the Monster Factory in 1987 to meet Buddy Rogers and Larry Sharp.
Now, did they, I mean, was it that you jumped headfirst into the training, or did they go easy on you, or did they immediately jump on you and go, hey, you think you want to be a wrestler, and then just take you apart?
Yes, that was it. that was about it in one day. What they did was, it was actually, as being a chiseled 185 pounds at the time, I went in there, and in 1987-88, the wrestlers were just enormous. Hogan was at 300 pounds. You had Earthquake and Typhoon. And even when I started the Monster Factory, there was a gentleman whose head was beginning to get tattooed. As it turns out, that was Bam Bam Bigelow.
Whoa.
And what happened was, they told me, quite frankly, at the time I was too small to be a wrestler. And I accepted that because they were just monsters, even in that ring there in Mount Holly. But then they offered me the opportunity to become a referee, and I took that opportunity. So they came back the next day, and the next day they had me run the ropes. I don't know how long I ran the ropes, but I know the next morning I was black and blue from my armpit down to my thigh.
Wow.
And I went back the next day, and I believe that's when they knew I was serious.
Oh, wow.
So you kind of trained in a different era than we're watching wrestling in right now. Do you think that your training was tougher than what people are going through right now?
I believe in some capacity it's as tough as what they're doing now. Well, as we go on, you'll learn that it wasn't always just being trained on the ring, and I'll discuss that later. But, I mean, you were lucky if you trained in the ring, and some of the old guys may be able to tell you of a time when they had old tires down with a piece of plywood and a rug over top, and I'll discuss that later. But there was, if you could take a bump on that, you could take a bump on anything. You were lucky to be in the ring and take a bump at that point.
So it sounds like it was a pretty intensive training there. How do you feel years later, looking back now, 22 years later, that on that training, did it train you to be one of the best, or?
I believe it has, especially being a referee, inevitably they would want to have a match. There would be three guys, and they would need a fourth guy. Well, then I would be that fourth guy. That's how I learned how to wrestle. But I also learned how to bump, and I learned how to take the falls, because every new move down the pike, it seemed as though I was the lightest one to try it out on. And I was eager, and I was willing to take those risks, and I did. And I'm fortunate enough to say that I did not get hurt, and it helped train me to do what I do today without getting hurt. Just a minor mishap in 06. You know, it is fun and games until an eye goes out. But that's, you live life, you know, as a spectator or a participant, and I choose to be the participant.
Okay. Dan, do you have something? I'm sorry, I was...
Dan Orta has something. He whined the whole beginning part of this show.
I was going to say, who was your the first match? Was it against somebody we know, or was it just a...
Well, the first match I had was, I believe, I'm going to have to do a little research, but I'm going off the top of my head, was against Chris the Edge Evans.
Mm.
From the Monster Factory, and he could mimic Bobby Eaton, because I think I had it. I ended up losing to an Alabama Jam off the top rope from him.
Ow, that'll do it.
Yeah,
was
the mark.
Was there ever a moment in the first? Not first year, but the first couple times in the ring, was there ever a moment, or even in training, was there ever a moment where you were like, I can't do this. I can't do it. I give up. Or was there always no doubt, that's it, I'm staying in this?
Actually, at one point after I had trained every Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., my life was work, gym, train. I did that solid for 6 months to be a referee.
Wow.
I had gotten my letters. I got my EKGs. I've got all my referee's license, and they will actually be appearing on Facebook soon.
Oh, wow.
From way back, I found them this evening, and what had happened is I had gone out, I had gotten my referee's license, so I would go and do some ring crew, and one of the most notable shows I had done was up at the Niagara Falls Convention Center, where we set up a ring for what was then the AWA and NWA working together to compete against the then WWF, and
oh, wow.
They would have super shows. So
yeah.
You had the best, which had Lawler, Bockwinkel, the Road Warriors, Gagne from the AWA, and then of course you had the Four Horsemen. You had Dusty Rhodes. You had Magnum TA from the NWA, and they were running hard and competing head to head, or trying to take it to Vince McMahon, I believe, Senior at the time. No, I'm not sure if it was Junior or Senior, but they were trying hard to take him on. And you know, I would go up there, I'd bring my gear, hoping that if a referee spot was available, I'd be able to work, or I'd drive down to Maryland and try to get work down there. And lots of interesting things happened on the road that we don't speak of, if I beg it.
Now, you mentioned refereeing and doing ring tech stuff for like big shows like that. What's the biggest match that you were involved with as a ref?
I never actually. In 1989, I'm not certain of the date. At one point, I had been trying. I had written to all the athletic commissions. I had written to promoters. I had sent cover letters from Larry Sharp talking about my training, but I could not get a break. And I really thought at that point it was going to be the end. And then at the end of my first photo album, I had my last match where I had done an outdoor show at the Monster Factory, and I knew it would be continued. I just did not know when. But I got pretty, not so much disgusted, but I was, I guess, disappointed that it was so hard that no matter how many times I went, no matter how many people I met, that, of course, it's who you know, not what you know in the business that ultimately breaks you in. And I just did not know anybody. And to be at the Monster Factory at that time was just not enough.
Okay, so you're down. You're a little depressed. The business is getting to you. Who was there for you? Who was the person that was always on your side and had your back that maybe was like, no, this is what you want to do, Mr. Ulala. This is why you're in the biz. They were your the wind beneath your wings, as they say.
It would have to be me, because I guess once it was in my blood, when that brute Sweet Hansen yelled at me, that was the first shot that I had gotten, and it was there to stay. And I didn't know when, I didn't know how, but I never gave up. I just kept working and working, and I had actually run into a mutual friend who I met in Philly, who ultimately in 1988 or 89-ish introduced me. I drove out to Bricktown, New Jersey to meet a Mr. Les Morgan, and at that time he was with his daughter Heidi Lee, who was actually wrestling Wendy Rector in a steel cage at Bricktown, New Jersey.
Oh, jeez.
So I drove out to Bricktown, New Jersey, and this was before the day of a GPS, so the Z-knuckleheads out there today, God knows, they might still be in Albuquerque now. But I tell you, you know, you learn in a hurry how to read a map, and you figure out which 95 goes north and south. That's all you need to know. And the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, and you figure it out from there. But I drove out to Bricktown, New Jersey to meet Les Morgan. And then that was what I referred to as part two of my career.
Okay, so that's actually a good bookend for where we are right now. Now, Mr. Ulala, just one last question. I want to know, looking back on your first couple of years in the business, from training, working your first shows, what do you look back on, and what's your memories from those first couple of years?
All I know is I would not give it up for anything. The memories are so many. There could be the taking of being paid by Bam Bam Bigelow to take him to the market every Thursday, and he fit into my Volkswagen Rabbit. And let me tell you, it was like Fred Flintstone movie where it just seemed to go up on just two wheels sometimes. I mean, it was good. And then training with gentlemen like Tony Hitman Stetson and Scotty Zabadi, who later went out to Portland, Oregon to work with, I believe it was Mr. Owens, and then went on later to be the man you know today as Raven.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I was there watching him, and I applaud him for taking the steps it took him, the courage to just take off to the other side of what was our world, the United States here, and, you know, just give it a go. Then there was Charlie Fulton, who was there, who helped do some training. I was, you know, here's a guy I've seen at the Spectrum sometimes, and now all of a sudden he's in the ring with me. And, of course, meeting Buddy Rogers. I mean, my only regret is I did not have a camera. But, it was amazing. I mean, Chief Thundermountain, I believe the man had passed away. I never saw a man run so fast after he swallowed five flies. And they used to put down manure, you know, like Mike Tagliare, the manure out in the field.
Yeah.
And what would happen is there would be flies galore. I mean, good God. It was bad. And then one day he was working out and he took a bad bump and he inhaled by accident and in came into this big black hole of a mouth of his, about five or six flies. I think he swallowed a couple and he could feel it in his mouth, and then he ran like a little girl outside and started to throw up. But the man, he moved, even at 400 pounds. I think he took two steps to get out of the ring, and God help anybody in his way. It was a good time. It was a time that was different. You know, nobody had videotape really to do their matches. You know, you really literally drove to wherever you needed to go.
Mm.
You know, I've worked with some midgets out there, the Amazing Martini, who my father stood next to me after we were supposed to give him a ride home, and my dad's like, "Well, where is this guy?" And I was like, "My dad, he's right next to you."
Mm-hmm.
He never looked down. The guy should have kicked Martina. Should have kicked him in the shins, I think.
Okay, Mr. Olaf.
But I got to tell you, it was a good time.
I just wanted to say I want to thank you. I'm looking forward to more installments of this. We'll work out the details as far as that goes. But really, thank you for your time. Now, where can people find you, whether it's Facebook or Twitter?
Well, you found me on Twitter because I couldn't take all your little babbling like a little girl over there. I tweeted you, get it on. And then this whole Papa Don thing, you're talking about kicking sand. I see Papa Don at the beach, and he's telling me to watch the tram car, I think. But let me tell you, though, you can find me on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter. But you know where else you can find me? In September, when we have our Toss the Boss about Lumberjack match, when the boss will run out of his running shoes and have to not run away like a little girl.
Yes,
Mr. Cole and I are going to take him to the proverbial shed, and then the rest shall be history.
Yes, indeed. 16 fans will also be those Lumberjacks, so that's very
exciting.
That is
correct. I believe they have to go online and some sort of a raffle or something, and I wish them the best of luck. But, Monsieur Nike is not going to be fast enough for that to run away like a little girl. And if that doesn't work, then maybe we'll have to have a little bull rope match, you know?
Yeah, I like where you're coming from.
God only knows, but
yeah.
Enough is enough with the little balls running away like a little girl.
That's for sure. Now, like I said, we'll work on the details here, but I'm very excited about what this series will bring, because I think a lot of fans out there want to hear the stories that you bring. You're a legend in the business, so I think people are very excited like we are.
Well, I was glad to be here, and I enjoyed telling this story. God only knows what's going to come up next.
Oh, boy.
But we look forward to it.
But of course you do. I mean, what are you going to do? Listen to Monsieur Papa Don and Papa John babble on about how he makes the best pie and how he is this and how he is that. And let me tell you, he'll cry in a river when he loses a little title. No.
You know what I heard, though? He beat you in 17 seconds, Willella.
You shut your mouth. The guy does nothing but sneak me. He thinks he's so tough. All right. Well, he'll get another interruption later. You watch and see.
Okay. I look forward to another French interruption with you here on the show. It's always a pleasure, and I can't wait to have you back, sir.
All right. Willella!
All right, that was Mr. Ooh La La. I'm going to play out his theme music, and we'll be right back with Robert Knight.
This is going to be a big interruption, and it's going to be French.
Oh, the French interruption. Now we're talking, huh? Ooh la la! Woo!
I'm the champ! Woo!
And now, from New Moon Rising Wrestling, we have the Knight Rider, Robert Knight. Robert!
Woo!
Big things coming for New Moon Rising Wrestling. We have a first show is coming. We have a fan appreciation day, and you have a little bit more to get off your chest.
You know, guys, before we get started, I just want to say I thought we were friends, but I've been sitting out here in Kit for the last 20 minutes listening to some guy put the Monster Factory over. I'm about ready to take you guys off my Christmas card list.
Oh, come on now. That was years ago.
That was the old school box. Factory, not this. That was not. It was 20 years. It was 22 years ago.
Exactly. Like I've always said from the beginning, I owe my career to Larry Sharp from the beginning. I mean, I have nothing against him even to this day. He's done a lot of great things for me personally. My gripe has nothing to do with Larry or the Monster Factory. I'm proud to be a graduate from there. It just has to do with the nonsense going on there now.
I was scared for a second.
Okay, so now as far as I'm not sure where I want to go. First of all. I saw on your Twitter you have another problem tonight. Do you want to elaborate on that?
It wouldn't be an appearance of the Knight Rider if I wasn't riled up about something. You know, it's not anything specific this time. It's just I think my problem is I've seen a video because we do scout our competition, obviously, and as we're getting ready to kick things off with New Moon Rising Wrestling. And once in a blue moon, we do see videos that pop up with, you know, now it's the Monster Factory Pro Wrestling, and they're advertising these guys. I mean, Madman Moose Moretti is one of the guys we're supposed to be excited about. I mean, I can smell that guy from here, and I live 2 hours away from the Monster Factory. So if his liver holds up to the first show, all the best to him. And, I mean, they're also advertising guys that are also with New Moon Rising. And, again, my comments don't reflect New Moon Rising Wrestling at all. They're just my opinion. But I think it's time that people take a stand. I mean, it's going to be hard for New Moon Rising or any other promotion to succeed if guys don't stand up for who they're working with. And it just comes down to guys being marks for themselves to be on any show whatsoever, to give the fans the same match with the same routine working on any show, instead of taking a stand saying, I'm with this promotion, I want this promotion to succeed. You know, whether you, and I'm not even saying they have to come with us, because if there's somebody that wants to go along with the brainwashing of Dan Cage and stick with the Monster Factory, you know, and live on a brand that has been dead for the past 10 years, that's on them. If they want to come with something new, exciting, and fresh, and guys that are giving them an opportunity to come out and show what they have and be innovative, then they come with New Moon Rising Wrestling. But I see guys being advertised as working on both shows, and, you know, there's not much I can say about it. I'm just going to promise people, when you come see New Moon Rising Wrestling, you're going to see the Knight Rider, Robert Knight. You're going to see a host of other guys who eat, sleep, and breathe New Moon Rising Wrestling, and we want to see it succeed. We want to do everything we can to see it succeed, and if it fails, it fails with us putting our heart and soul into it, not with us working for the Monster Factory and NWS and this promotion and that promotion, just to whore ourselves out and be, you know, marks for ourselves is what it is. And, you know, I know that we're going to do something big, and I just hope that by the time the shows start rolling around again in September that these guys, you know, decide to be real men and just pick one promotion to work with.
Now, is the plan, if you know, because, you know, I'm not sure how much information gets thrown about between you guys, but do you know if New Moon is looking for a monthly program, or are they going, what exactly is the plan right now for New Moon?
What we're looking to do is we're going to do two shows a month, probably going to be Saturday afternoons, and then every couple of months we're going to have a big Saturday night show. So, you know, we're not going to be feeding the guys the same people every week, because, you know, every 2 weeks for the shows, because the fans will get tired of that, and, you know, it's just not fresh, not original. So you're going to see a mix between, you know, maybe the heavyweight title defending 1 week, 2 weeks later the U.S. title. You know, it's going to be a mix of talent for those shows, and then the big Saturday night shows are going to be the big, you know, every title in the line, you know, settling scores and the whole big deal. So that's right now what we're looking to do. I mean, things could change. Of course, we're always looking to spread out and do other cities, other towns all over the place. But from our hub-based building, it's going to be two shows a month.
Okay, that sounds and of course, when you have your own home base of operation, it makes things like that a lot easier.
Exactly, and people get used to it. I think people are going to be really impressed when they see the stuff that's going on with the new building. Just as far as the company itself, we are going to be running New Moon Rising Wrestling Proving Grounds, which is an affordable pro wrestling training school where you can get in the ring with guys who have been doing it for the past 10 years, not who have been contemplating a career in comedy and then decided to become a trainer. And you can do it for a lot less than what some of the other schools are doing. And you have the opportunity to jump in the ring with the guys of New Moon Rising Wrestling, including myself, Jake Bishop, Justin America, Tank Tolan, and the list goes on and on.
That is really fascinating, too. And I spoke with a few of the guys, and it really is an affordable way. I'm not going to give out price points or anything like that, but it sounds really an alternative to other local schools.
I think so. And I think when people, you know, see the kind of shows that we're putting on, and, you know, they get to know some of the guys, again, aside from just the promotion that we're doing, we have worked for other promotions. You know, we do have years and years of experience between us, and obviously guys like Tank Tolan and Cliff Compton, who we stay in touch with, looking to, you know, lend us a hand. It's guys that who are in touch with the business today, and they are going to be able to guide these kids in the right direction.
Now, this is the primary purpose of why you come on. It is time for some fan mail, and the first one, a dear old friend, as I like to say. And it is, yo, Knight Rider, I'm out here in Branson, Missouri, trying to spread roughneck fever. It's crazy, but whenever I mention New Moon Rising Wrestling, all anyone can say to me is that they are huge fans of Robert Knight. Dude, your popularity is unreal. I hope to get the rub off of you when we do meet in the ring, and when we do, go easy on me, okay? I'm pretty damn old. We all the way home, a roughneck.
Wow, the American roughneck all the way from Missouri. You know, I saw that he was out there, Kit was telling me, earlier in the week, and I was kind of hoping he would stay out there. But, I mean, if he's getting to talk to the people and these people are saying that they're fans of mine, I can't say that I'm surprised, because the popularity of the Knight Rider, the hero that I am, Mr. Controversy, I mean, my popularity is spreading all over the place. An American roughneck, I'm not going to let you get any kind of rub on me. That kind of creeps me out a little bit, like that video of me supposedly asleep that you posted a while ago. But this thing's going to happen sooner or later. So, you know, keep sending your fan mail. Keep trying to get on my good side, and maybe we just won't end your career. We'll just give you the beating of a lifetime.
Oh, jeez. This next letter, I don't know who exactly this is from, but this is a very interesting one, so I'll just read it off the top.
Okay.
Dear Mr. Knight, please don't make fun of our latest video where we have someone flipping a light switch for special effects. It's the best we could do. And the fact that we don't have New Moon Rising Wrestling's ring anymore is irrelevant. We'll get one soon, and when we do, well, you'll see. Sincerely, Monster Factory.
Oh, wow. I guess it's nonstop with those guys tonight. I do know of that promo that the guy's talking about, though, with the light switch special effects. That was pretty cool. You know, it reminded me of, you know, when VCRs first came out and stuff in the early 80s. And the problem that I have with that is not even the light switch. It's that the guy that they're advertising has a great look, and I've never even met this guy. He could be the nicest guy in the world. But a couple of weeks earlier, they posted a video of the guy in a match, and he's the guy that last week I said that looked like they just pulled him off a truck and put him in the ring. So, I mean, I think they're jumping the gun a little bit too much. I don't know if they're nervous about New Moon Rising Wrestling and what we have going on, but to advertise a guy that's coming that can't even sell, feed, or bump, and, you know, you're running promos of the guy, I hope that's not a sign of things to come, but maybe I do hope it is, because it's just going to make our competition a little bit less. Sorry about the ring, too, by the way, but it's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Now, Robert, of course, people can find you on Twitter, and that is Robert Knight _.
Still underscore. And I'm now on Instagram at Robert Knight Rider. Kit's got me taking pictures of my journeys and stuff. So Robert Knight Rider on Instagram. And as always, NMRWrestling.com and the New Moon Rising Wrestling group page on Facebook.
That's where a lot of stuff.
Every once in a blue moon, you'll see guys stop by there too and talk to Captain Dave. So it's always a trip.
I was just going to bring up Captain Dave. I was going to say, did you get the tout from him? Because tout is the new thing. So did you get Captain Dave's tout?
I didn't know that he had one, but I was shocked to find that there actually is a Captain Dave's wrestling review, roundup review, something or other on Facebook now. He does have 500 fans on that page, so maybe people do understand what he's saying.
Oh, my goodness. But, Robert, it's always entertaining, to say the least, when you come on. I look forward to next week, and who knows what we'll discuss then.
Who knows? Hopefully I'll be a little less on the verge of a heart attack next week, but it always seems that when it comes to, you know, close to showtime, something else comes up that gets me riled up. Maybe you'll see a calm and subdued Robert Knight next week. But what fun would that be, right?
That's true. That is true. But I believe it's time for your catchphrase.
My catchphrase? That would be No Dues Cruise?
No.
Oh, okay. That would have to be One Man Can Make a Difference.
Okay, Robert. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Best catchphrase in the business.
Oh, no, it's the second one compared to the first one.
Oh, my.
That's gold. I got to see this match he's referring to, the video he's referring to. I got to find this match because that sounds hilarious.
It's interesting.
It sounds like he described the Kodiak Bear.
Hey! You leave Kodiak Bear alone! That's a ticket paying fan.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. But guys, right now we have somebody else on hold. It's of course Heart Killer. I have trouble remembering that he's not a heartbreaker, he's a heart killer. He's a heart killer. So Chris Wilde is on the phone. We're gonna discuss the fallout of War Games. Now, both of you were there. I want your opinions on War Games, starting with Mark and then Dan, what you thought about War Games.
Starting with Mark.
Okay, starting with Dan.
Okay, starting with Dan. That stinks because I was just going to go with it was pretty hot. But the turn of events, that whole War Games match was exciting and incredible. The first steel cage match I've ever seen live, and it's pretty friggin' amazing. That's all I got to say.
How about you, Mark?
Really impressed with how it's been a while since you've seen a War Games, you know, and how well it was executed, how entertaining it was.
Yes.
Just like, you know, you have a lot going on inside a steel cage already, and then to add 4-on-4 action to it, just a really just And a lot of not trying to build up the company, not trying to like oh my god, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. But no, it was really a pretty crazy match.
And then a lot going on outside the ring as well.
Absolutely, like cummerbunds and stompings.
A lot of stompings.
Cummerbunds and big old boobies.
But without further ado, here's Chris Wilde's theme music, and we'll get him right on. If it starts. There it goes. Now, welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey.
You're with Dean. You're with Dan. You're with Mark. It's the whole crew here. Now, one thing I neglected to bring up, I think through the War Games, through this feud with the Blackhearts, you have transformed. You are no longer the Chris Wilde that came into the company of ECWA at the Super 8 match. You are now a different man, if you will, a different wrestler. What do you think about that?
Well, before I actually started talking to you guys, I think right around that time is when I was in this war with the Blackhearts. So you guys really having had a chance to see some of my wrestling matches. But I think I've had some really good ones and some really underrated wrestling matches. But as great as they were, you know, I was still – sort of lacking a little bit of confidence, I think, and you know, the war with the Blackhearts kind of brought it out of me, you know, because it made me realize not only can I wrestle a great match or you know, entertain with you know, some of the moves I do, but also be in there and get pounded and get a beating and see how, you know, how much I can actually take. And that's exactly what the Blackheart feud gave me.
Okay, now, I was just wondering, now, when you're in that battle, when you have those odds stacked against you, Aiden Chambers is, of course, handcuffed to the cage. Papadon is getting brutalized by Bobby Shields. You have a lot going on.
Let me cut you off quick.
Sure.
I've never been beaten up so much as I have the past 8 months with the Blackhearts. Never. It's one thing to take a suplex or a power bomb or a pile driver in the ring. It's another thing to have, you know, another guy take his fist and try to beat your face in for 30 minutes or run you over with a car or hit you with a kendo stick. And, you know, that's I think, where the transformation began. I mean, I'm a guy right now that I'm sitting here and I'm thinking there's nothing that another guy can do to me in an ECWA ring that's going to keep me down. Absolutely not, especially after the stuff I've been through with these Blackhearts. But go ahead with what you were saying. Chambers is cuffed, Papadon's in the ring. And
yeah, and basically what happens at that point is you had to resort to fire.
Yeah, absolutely. It got to that, you know, I've had a chance to watch the match back because may I tell you what, after that, I really don't remember a lot of it. And, you know, it just got to a point where they were hitting me with everything. I mean, you know, you got Chambers handcuffed, Kukoa's handcuffed on the outside, Papadon's getting choked out by Josh Daniels, and I just remember Breaker just hitting me with all sorts of things, baseball bats, and chains. And there's actually a couple of pictures up on the ECW website where he's got this chain wrapped around my neck, and I can just, the blood is pouring out of my forehead and into my eyes, and I can remember feeling the sting from the blood. If any of you guys have ever been in a fight, never been busted open, that stinging from the blood that gets into your eyes can really put you at another level. And I remember being with that chain wrapped around my neck and feeling that blood, you know, trickle down into my eyes and then into my mouth. And once I got that taste, I realized, man, that I've got it. There's no way that I can just win this without going to an extreme. And, you know, they left one too many tricks in their bag. And as soon as I got the chance and the opportunity, the fireball was thrown. The fireball heard around the world, as I'll say.
Now,
and, you know,
go ahead, man.
And you know, a part of me, you know, kind of is. I'm sorry that I had to come to that. You know, Breaker Morant. You know, he's a competitor. He's a douchebag, but he's also a man. You know, and he's got a family, and he's got, you know, kids, and I've you know, seen his kids around shows, and you know, right now, you know, from what I understand, he doesn't have 100% visibility. You know. And, you know, but it had to come to that, you know. That's why they call it war games, and wars don't just end peacefully. And this one sure the hell didn't.
Go ahead, Dan. I believe you had a question.
Oh, I thought I was talking. sorry. obviously, you had to bring it into the ring, but is the fire something that, like, was it last minute, or did I'm gonna take this there, and if I have to use it, or were you going to use it regardless based on the beatings you've been taking?
Well, let me. It wasn't the fireball wasn't something that I had planned. I had no idea that it was even in the bag. And it was a Breaker, as if you remember, you know, my good buddy, the old Joel Goodhart, and his band, the Merry Men, threw that duffel bag.
Oh, they're
in.
Merry, all right.
Absolutely. threw that duffel bag full of toys into the ring, and as I'm being beaten by Breaker, I just so happened to fall onto the bag, and that was the one thing that they had left in there, and I'm sure it was going to be used against me. So, you know, like I said, it was at that point I'm just, you know, desperate men do desperate things, and
yeah,
and that's where I was. I mean, it was do or die, literally, at that time. So no, you know, if he had a chainsaw in the bag, I probably would have used that. You know, that's where it kicked.
That would have been interesting.
It wouldn't be out of the normal for Delaware, you know.
No, I was going to say, it pretty much fits. I've never seen something like that before. Papadon came out in your favor. Obviously, we know later on, didn't quite go the way you had planned. Did he come out on his own for the company? Did you guys talk before the match? What happened with that whole situation?
I had no idea. We were actually told in the back, you know, here you got Mike Tartaglia running around in the back, you know, saying there's going to be another guy, there's going to be another guy. I don't trust Mike as far as I can throw him. So I had no idea what was going to happen. I was hoping, you know, for maybe ECWA Original or somebody that of that nature. I remember hearing Papadon's music or seeing him come to the ring.
Oh,
and at that point, I knew, man, this isn't going to be good. I mean, I was a little bit relieved because it gave us an extra guy, but something just sat in my stomach said, this is not going to turn out well.
Mm.
And lo and behold, what I thought came to fruition.
So you talked about the.
I was going to say, you got to understand something about Papadon. You know, I'm not going to sit here. I could sit here and disrespect him, but I'm not going to do that. He is absolutely one of the greatest wrestlers on the scene today. I mean, he's 20-0 in ECWA. He's had some of the best matches anywhere at any company. And that just isn't good enough for him. Papadon has an ego. He's selfish. You know, I've sitting here and listened to, regretfully, some of the interviews that he's done on here with you guys. And, you know, it's irritated me that he likes to say that he has brought up ECWA. It's risen from the ashes like a phoenix, and he's the one to have brought it to, you know, where it is right now. And it's like, dude, you know, you live in this fantasy world, man. You know, I don't know what kind of opinions you guys have about the other rosters that Jim had in here before, you know, Mike and Joe took over. But let's face it, ECWA was always the place to be. Always. It never stopped being that. From the last day that Jim was there, he had guys begging to get into the door. So it's always the place to be, you know. And not and look, and I'm not saying that it's not hotter than it's ever been. I think Joe and Mike have, you know, worked their asses off to put this roster together, and all the boys work hard to make it, I think, you know, one of the top companies, if not the top company, in the United States. But ECW is always the place to be. And if anything, it's ECWA that brought Papadon from the ashes. Because, look, man, you know, again, he's an amazing wrestler. But nobody south of New York knew what a Papadon was before he came to ECWA. And like I said, I live in the real world. Nobody knew who a Chris Wilde was before the ECWA. Hell, I don't even know if anyone knows what a Chris Wilde is now. After War Games, they should. And after September 15th, I can guarantee you they will. But ECWA, it's on the map. And I mean, you know, a lot of other guys can come on here and tell you the same thing. Kakoa, Fusion, you know, this has always been the place to be. We've all worked hard to bring it to where it is. But, you know, don't get me wrong, dude. You are an amazing wrestler, and that's what you should be known as, not this egomaniac that you showed yourself to be at War Games, because you made War Games not about the ECWA, but about you, the company that gave you the opportunity to be what you are, to show the world how great you are. You stabbed in the back when you showed your true colors.
Okay, do either of you two have a question for Chris? We're having a little bit of trouble behind the scenes. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
So you talked about the violence in the match. You talked about the chains and the fire and all of this. Tell me about the guy you were before the match as opposed to the guy you are now. Like, what is the difference in Chris Wilde?
This Chris Wilde compared to the one before the War Games match, I kind of see things in a different light now, to the point to where, you know, I've been to hell. I've seen the worst of the worst. And there's, you know, anytime you get into the ring, if you're a performer in this business, you always have a certain fear of the unknown. And I think that once you take away that fear, that you become a little bit more dangerous. And then that's where I'm at, man. Like, you know, I saw it all at War Games. And right now, I mean, I'm to the point where nothing's going to stop me. The Chris Wilde before the match, you know, might not be sitting here as confident as I am now. But having been through that, having tasted my own blood, having been beaten into a pool of my own blood, I'm angry. I'm not going to lie. I'm very angry. But at the same time, I think that anger has kind of fueled my passion and, you know, lit my fire a little bit more than it ever was.
Now, again, I have seen you in the last 60 days take two hell of a beating. Well, that didn't make any sense, but you know what I was going with it. I've seen
it.
You get your butt kicked. Yeah, thank you. It was easier for me to say. Do you think... I know your mind, you sound like you're physically and mentally ready. Do you think you are physically going to be able to compete with Papadon? I mean, we can say all we want about what's going on, but he's on a roll.
Absolutely. Man, I've taken a lot of punishment. That's no lie, over the past couple months. And my body has, too. But again, I've seen where my limits are with my body. I don't think there is any. Honestly, I'm training the hardest I've ever trained right now. You know, I think physically the beatings that I've taken have, you know, in a twisted way made me stronger.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to be more ready and more determined on September 15th than I ever have in my life. This isn't just, you know, like, so, I know this is a family thing, but there's no other way I could say this. This isn't no bullshit, like, angle here. This isn't, you know, me just trying to get over the September 15th show. Being ECWA champion has been my dream since a teenager. You know, hey, I've no disrespect to the TWA Heavyweight Championship because I sit here with it now. You know, I have a lot of respect, and being the TWA champion has brought me to levels I've never been. But the ECWA title is one of the things I've always clamored for. It's always been a dream of mine. And, you know, in a weird way, what Babadon did to me opened the door and swung the gates wide open for me to get the second chance at this belt. And, you know, it's something I'm not going to let just go by.
Now, one thing we did overlook, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is a unification match, is it not?
Correct.
All right. See, this, there's more on the line than just the ECWA championship. This is a major, major title match that we're going to be having here on September 14th.
This is something that everybody has kind of talked about behind the scenes. You know, there can only be one champion. You know, when are they going to unify these titles? And, you know, I honestly planned on defending the TWA Heavyweight Championship and bringing it to levels that it's never been before. Unfortunately, you know, for Papadon, he brought the demon out, and now there can only be one. So because of his ego, you know, there's going to be one champion, and I'm telling you right now, if you thought you've seen a war before, you have not seen anything. There's nothing that I won't do. And let me tell you, this has become personal as well. So there's nothing I won't do to prove myself to him.
Okay, and that is September 15th at the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club. Chris, where can people find you if they want to interact with you?
At the Chris Wild on Twitter. Also, I've got a Facebook account, and a Facebook fan page to check out videos of your new favorite wrestler. You can go to youtube.com, and I have a channel there. It's Chris Wild 1 2012. And, man, you know, check some of the stuff out. I've had a lot of great matches on there. You know, a lot of people talk about some of the matches that Papadon's had. I think I've had some pretty good ones as well. Promos that apparently suck you can also find on there, and a lot of other goodies.
Okay, so September 15th, the score will be settled. It's very exciting. The 45th anniversary show too, so big night and probably one of the biggest main events in ECWA history. So good luck coming up September 15th. I want to get you back on before that, probably the week right before, but we'll talk off air about that. But
if I could have some closing.
Oh, definitely.
Look, man, I know that Papadon's listening or is going to listen. Even though he's not going to admit it. And the thing is, you know, this, what he's done, he's opened up something that he can't take back. You know, again, Papadon's going to come on here. He's going to make fun of my promos or, you know, talk about how great he is. There's going to be another episode of, you know, a big fat Greek ego with Papadon. But, you know, this isn't about promos or whatever he wants to talk about. This, he's made it personal. And unlike every other guy that he's wrestled the past 2 years in ECWA, none of them, it's all been business with them. They've come in, they get their paycheck, they leave. You've made it personal with me. And I'm telling you right now, you overlooked that. You're going to be leaving September 15th, but not just without that title, but a lesser man than you are now. And that's right. You're not a god. You're a man. Everybody, that's all I have to say.
Cool, we killed the power. Did you see? The power died when we came out. We took so much energy. We zapped the power from the building. That's how cool we are.
It's true. It's true. The power just, boom, right out. Not only did it go out, but if I remember, you clapped it right back on.
I clap it on.
Hello, Mr. Burgundy. How are you?
Oh, Mr. Saigon. I'm doing great.
It,
how are you, sir?
I don't know, but I could tell you a few other things. But I'm going to tell you this. It smelled like pure gasoline in there.
I believe it. I believe you guys, you know, you tore it so badly that you were putting all the fire out.
Oh, all the fire. Yo, are you excited for the new Anchorman?
I am excited. I am, you know.
Yeah, I'm totally excited.
All I want to know, though, is why you two did not have a starring role in the new Anchorman movie.
Oh, that's reserved for another movie.
Racism. Do you see any Asians in the movie?
That is true. That is true. I haven't seen any Asians.
They weren't a really big deal in that time period, unfortunately. That's the problem.
What are you talking about? Bruce Lee.
Touche.
Yeah, touche.
Yeah, but is he really Asian? I mean,
yeah.
He's got the slanted eyes, yellow skin, and the black hair.
Yeah, but he's not even human. Bruce Lee wasn't human. Bruce Lee was not from this planet.
His last name was Lee.
He was just too awesome
his
to be from this planet.
His last name was Lee.
He was too awesome to be from this planet.
It might have been his middle name.
Every movie he was in was something dragon.
He needed a hello?
That is true. You do have a dragon right here.
He doesn't want to be Asian. Look at all these Asian tattoos he has on. You're just jealous because although I'm a wannabe Asian, I'm a better Asian than you.
I mean, what do you think,
McCorkle?
With the height thing, do you think you kind of don't qualify because of your height for being Asian?
No, I think the lack of slanted eyes is the lack of Asian.
About 4 a.m. in the morning, they're slanted.
It eventually goes away after two cups of coffee.
Well, this is never making air.
Sure it will! People that know this is our shtick. This is what we do. Follow us on Twitter. It's worse than this.
I don't even think it's a shtick.
I think it's just Matt being Matt.
Episode was just you guys.
That's just us being us.
That was Dangerous Dan Law throwing in his 2 cents.
More
like $5, you know, $5.
On a shoe, Dangerous Dan Law, I just learned. Mom lives in the same town as me.
Yeah.
Are you a Cherry Hill guy?
No.
His mom lives in Tuckerton.
Oh.
I used to see her around where I used to go to work. Sorry.
Well, shoot.
Sorry.
Shoot.
Wow, your mom went to the Chinese takeout a lot, huh?
She did.
My mom is white.
Talking about his mom.
Oh, his mom is white.
My mom is definitely white. You said you saw her at your job a lot, so I'm assuming she ordered a lot of takeout.
I don't know. It was all order up.
Gentlemen?
All right, let me get this thing back on the rails real
fast. Yes, I'm sorry.
This thing goes completely crashing. So, what's next, guys? You know, how you feeling after the big victory?
Hey.
What's next? You know, what do you give me your thoughts.
I don't know. My jaw kind of hurts because somebody miscued and booted me in the face.
Sorry.
That was our bad. You know, I gave him the push.
Yeah.
My bad.
Nonetheless, like I said at the end of the match, Zanoli, bring him bigger, bring him badder. It doesn't matter. Blackheart decided to start a fight with me earlier this week, and guess what? Again, we're on the one side that nobody's on, our own. We're not on anybody's side. We're not here for Team ECWA. We're not here for Blackheart. We're not here for any against them. We're here for competition. We're the champs. That doesn't make us the best. Being the champs means we want to be even better than everybody else.
Yeah.
And that only goes by the level of competition they bring. So, Blackheart, bring it. Joe, bring it. We have allegiance to no one but ourselves. The true believers follow us because they see what we've brought back to the table, and that is wrestling. Not gimmicks, no fringes, nothing needed. We come in, we wrestle, we kick ass, and we do it better than any other team here. So keep bringing them. Keep bringing them. We're going to keep chewing them up and spitting them out.
I never went to wrestling school. I was a backyarder who one day made it big.
You are big. You are definitely big. And you got the muscles for the size of my head.
Godzilla.
And not to mention your skills are also, you know, you're there.
They're there. They're there. I watch a lot of TV and I can imitate it.
I expect a special announcement from you guys in the near future. I feel it. I'm feeling confident.
I'm not going to say anything but we appreciate the believers.
I am a believer. I am
like
definitely
you guys,
a believer.
And on a straight shoot again, you guys were so phenomenal in all of that. And just right now, we just got to see where it turns out, you know, where it goes.
I'm telling you, I feel it. I feel it in my core. Something good's going to happen.
On a side note, come down. Make sure you're here at ECWA shows. Watch the shows. Watch Ring of Honor in the next week or two because you might see a particular familiar team wrestling's greatest tag team on an upcoming episode of Ring of Honor.
I don't remember.
Fusion Diaz. Oh, excuse me. Ooh, man.
Man, allergies.
Yeah, I know.
It's better with Fusion Diaz.
Oh, man.
It's going around. Right
there. Allergies. Can someone get the Benadryl out here?
It's contagious. Very. We're contagious.
You guys are contagious. Real quick, though. Let me just say, real fast. Who you guys always listen to every Wednesday night to 9:30?
Hell on a Cell Radio.
The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh.
After the big... Penny,
but you
penny,
can
penny,
listen. Penny. Where can you listen to? Besides live, you can also listen to...
iTunes.
Hell on a Cell Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. See, I listen from Blog Talk Radio. I didn't know about the iTunes.
But you don't have to listen to it live. You can listen to it anytime.
Just listen to it. Listen to it. Listen to Hell in a Cell Radio.
Listen to me. Don't listen to him.
Polly would be happy with that cheap plug right there.
Confucius say, listen to Hell in a Cell Radio.
If you want to be Asian, I'm out of here.
I was talking for you, facetiously. I think I used that word completely incorrectly.
That's okay.
But anyway, I'm not the smart one. I'm the good-looking one. You guys keep doing what we're doing, and we'll keep doing it for you.
Excellent. All right, so we're making a run for it. Thank you so much, guys.
Okay, welcome back. We had a little bit of some.
I forgot to pay the bill.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, we're back. We're better than ever.
Those guys are fantastic.
That was Fusion DS, of course. They'll be here next week. After we have the boss here as well next week.
I mean, those guys are so much fun. I'm looking forward to that interview.
As am I, but we have an interview right now, guys.
Dun, dun, dun. I was talking to him through Twitter, telling him to hang on, please.
Thank God for that. But right now I'm going to bring on, with no fanfare whatsoever, he doesn't need any.
He's that good.
Oh, it's from Magnum's modeling agency. It's none other than Ricky, the model Martinez. Ricky, welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm a little upset, actually.
A little upset. Elaborate a little.
Listen, you got Ricky the Model Martinez on Hell in a Cell Radio, and as good-looking as I am, I've been on hold for the past 15 minutes.
Oh, boy.
I need some kind of explanation for that.
Well, I blame Chris Wilde for crashing Skype.
I was going to blame Flog Talk Radio for being so reliable.
I was going to blame us for wearing T-shirts to the beach and him being much prettier than us.
It's ridiculous. Let's move on. Let's move on. I'm over it. I got a bottle of Cristal with my name on it. I'm going ready to party.
Okay, now, Ricky, I just wanted to know a very basic question to start out. Where did you get your start? Where did you train? That sort of thing.
Well, I'm sure you're familiar with hashtag Future of the Business,
which consists of
myself, Keikoa, the Flying Hawaiian, a man by the name of Chad Evans, and Bill the Benchmark Daily. My training was completed by Mr. Bill the Benchmark Daily. He made me the superstar that I am today, of course.
Okay, very well. Now, moving on, you're a pretty big deal in ECWA.
And yeah.
I think that deal is getting bigger as time moves on.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, look at me. Can you blame me? I am what I say I am. I'm the future of the business. I'm young, I'm talented, and I'm hungry. And when I set my eyes on something, I'm going to get it.
Very well. Now, recently you've been aligned not only with Magnum's modeling agency, but you've also been aligned with the boss, Mike Tartaglia. Now, how did all that get started?
The boss is a very good friend of mine, very good friend. We go way back. We get our nails done together. We get our hair done together. We're like two peas in a pot. He gave me the opportunity that I dreamed of to be part of the ECWA roster. And now all I'm doing is returning a favor for a friend.
Okay,
we're a perfect match. Come on, look at us. The boss and the model. Doesn't get better than that.
I'd agree with that. Mark, go ahead.
So, being friends with the boss, what kind of perks does that bring about for your career?
You don't worry about that.
The only perks
I need are my good looks and my amazing muscles. I mean, have you seen? You've been to a show. You've seen me. All the perks I need stand at 5'11 and 200 pounds, baby. That's it.
All right.
Those are my perks.
You're a good-looking guy, you're well-built, you're well-established in the ring. Do you have your eyes set on any certain opponent?
Oh, do I. First of all, let me start off with Cole Calloway.
Yeah. Start with that guy.
He's been a thorn in my side for the past few months. And come September, at the anniversary show, that's a thorn I'm going to take out of my side. Him and his goofiness and his YMCA and his ridiculous bright colors and all the kissing and dancing. I'm done with it. The fun and games are over. He got lucky once. I redeemed myself. Come September, I finished the job and I put Cole Calloway away for good.
You know, I saw Cole Calloway with some Chick-fil-A. I don't know.
Some what?
Chick-fil-A? Yeah.
I'm not going to go there.
I'm just saying, I think I saw him with Chick-fil-A shake. That's all I'm saying.
Woof.
Woof indeed. Hashtag woof, if you know what
I'm
saying.
Hashtag woof.
Now, you also, coming up at Carney's Point, you have a big 8-man tag team match. It's kind of like you got a robot in there. You got what's going on with that one?
You know what? I follow the boss's orders. The boss wants backup. I'm his backup. He's got a few thorns in his side. I'm going to have his back and take those thorns out. The robot, I got nothing. I guess I'm going to have to beat him down. Mr. Lala, that guy, don't even get me started on him. That guy's over the hill and way past his prime. And don't get me wrong, I get it. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a mid-Atlantic champion. But you know what? After a while, I'm going to end up taking that title. And Mr. Ulala is going to be rolling down that very hill he's on top of.
There you go. So you don't seem too concerned with these upcoming battles you have.
It's not that I'm concerned, Dean. It's come on, look at me. Do I look like I have anything to worry about?
Good point.
I'm the future of the business, baby.
Now, how old are you?
Naturally. I'm 23 years young.
23? You do have a very bright future ahead of you, sir.
Oh, I got miles ahead of me, brother.
Miles and miles now. Mark, do you have anything for the model here?
Now, you mentioned Mr. Ulala. How do you think a match between you and him would go? I mean, he's got all that ring experience, but you're a fresh, young talent. What happens when those two collide?
You said it all, my friend. It has nothing to do with one or the other. What it comes down to is when any man, veteran, rookie, or in between, when he steps in the ring with someone who's part of hashtag future of the business, bad things happen to that other person. And if that person just happens to be Mr. Ooh La La, then hashtag wolf for him.
Hashtag wolf. I really can't say it any better than that. Now, the one question I do have, you're also a big deal in another promotion. I forget the name off the top of my head. But recently you had a little bit of trouble there with a fan.
Yes.
If you want to talk about it, you don't have to.
No, you know what? I'll put it out there. You know, people have been asking me a lot about it. I've yet to even issue a statement. So actually, this is the first time I'm addressing this issue with you.
Awesome.
The set you're referring to is Elite Wrestling, which I am their heavyweight champion there. Long story short, a dirty, disgusting Walmart shopping fan decided to interject in my match and legitimately punch me in the face and almost permanently ruin my good looks. He did temporarily. He did knock a tooth out. But being Ricky the Model Martinez and having endless amounts of money, I went and I got that fixed within 72 hours. But that just shows a lack of respect that the fans have for me. You know, you go out there, you give your all, great performance. I'm the champion defending my title, regardless of how I win it or defend it. The man has no business putting his hands on me. That dirty, disgusting, Walmart shopping, toothless, trailer park piece of trash. By the way, I'm pressing charges. But that's pretty much how that went down. He had no business touching me, whether he was intoxicated or whatever the case may be. He got overzealous, or maybe he just hated me that much. I like to call that hashtag over. But
job well done, I'd say. Yeah, job well done if he hated you that much. Now,
apparently.
Going along with that, does it concern you now at ECWA, the 45th anniversary show, with – The fans are going to be lumberjacks. Now, are you a little bit concerned?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to lie. That concerns me because I don't do well with fan interaction. That's no secret. But I'm going to put my trust in the boss and the fact that he knows what he's doing, and he's going to be – I know he's going to be the reliable partner that he is, and he's going to have my back. And all those dirty, disgusting, out-of-shape, smelly, unemployed Walmart shopping dirtbags aren't going to touch me as long as the boss is around. So I got that going in the back of my head. And if they do, I am fully entitled. And, hey, listen, I've checked. I've done my research. I'm entitled to defend myself. So if they touch me, I'm kicking them in the throat.
Now, can I just make a helpful suggestion? I know you don't need advice from, you know, a peon like me, but just bear with me while I say maybe you should put something in the contract that those Walmart shopping mouth breathers should have to wear some gloves as not to get their germs all over your sensitive model skin.
Listen, if it were up to me, all those idiots would be behind the barricade where they belong. But Joel Zanola decided to stick his nose where it didn't belong and interject these fans. So if I had it my way, they'd be on the other side. But unfortunately, Ricky the Model Martinez, believe it or not, he doesn't always get his way, contrary to popular belief. So I'm just going to deal with it because I am future of the business and I'm going to get through it. And me and the boss are going to earn that victory, regardless of the fans.
Now, one other question I do have. It's not really a question, though. It's a statement. There certainly are, at Newark, Delaware, certainly are a lot of those Walmart shoppers that you speak of.
Yeah. Whoops. There are a lot of them. And I'm not happy about it, Dean. I'm not happy. I mean, look at me. Come on. They should be happy that I am gracing them with my presence, breathing the same air as me. Just being in my presence alone, they should be grateful. What do? I go out there and pour my heart, soul, and hair gel that drips from my hair in that ring, and they boo me. They disrespect me. So you know what? screw the fans. Forget them. I don't need them. I'm going to get to the top regardless of what the fans think of me.
Now, one piece of this puzzle, getting to the top, the K-Cup coming up in October, you and your on-again, off-again partner, Danny E., are in that match. Is that
yes,
exciting for you? Go ahead.
I'm very excited. I mean, Danny E. is a very good friend of mine, one of the greatest tag team partners I've ever had in my short career. He's apparently doing big things. I know you know he was at the No Way Out pay-per-view, and he's there for a reason. He's talented. And his talents, along with my talents, me being hashtag future of the business, we're pretty much going to breeze through the K-Cup and go to the top. And tag champs, what, Fusion DS? Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
Now, Mark, go ahead.
Okay, so the ECWA show is coming up. We've got a couple of people in there, and you love your hashtags. So what if I name someone that's going to be involved in the match and you give them a hashtag?
You're going to name someone involved in the match and you're going to give me
a hashtag?
Yeah,
let's say I go, the boss. What would you hashtag the boss?
Hashtag buddy.
Okay, hashtag.
I like this game. Let's do this.
What would you hashtag Cole Calloway?
Ooh. Hashtag Chick-fil-A.
And finally, what would you hashtag Mr. Ulala?
Oh.
Hashtag over the hill. Hashtag Walmart. Hashtag one day I'm taking your title, old man. Hashtag wolf.
I couldn't say any better. Now, Ricky, it was certainly an honor to be graced by your presence.
You're welcome.
I have to get the feedback to Gus Grand over this and Magnum, of course, because there was a sizable fee to book you tonight.
Yeah, there is. There
so,
is. And I appreciate the generous paycheck I'm getting.
Yes, indeed. So, Ricky, now if one of those Walmart mouth breathers want to follow you, where can they follow your career?
Oh, they can follow me at Ricky Model Pro. Hashtag future of the business.
I couldn't say it better. So good luck coming up against those mouth breathers. There's going to be 16 of them. Plus Cole Calloway.
I'm going to need luck with these Walmart shoppers.
Plus Cole Calloway and Mr. Olala. So you got your hands filled.
I got this.
Okay, well, good luck coming up. And with a partner like the boss, I think you'll do just fine.
I think so, too.
All right. It was a pleasure, and you have a great rest of the evening.
Hey, thanks for having me. You too.
All right. So that was Ricky the Model Martinez.
Hashtag awesome.
Yeah, hashtag awesome.
Aisle ECWA.
Yeah. Wow. So future of the business. Hashtag right there. Wow.
Hashtag.
A lot of hashtags, but, you know, especially with Mark there toward the end. But, wow.
Mark is full of hashtag.
I think one of our friends is on the line. I'm going to bring them on right now. Now, caller, state your name and where are you calling from? Caller, state your name. It's what your parents gave you. And where you're calling from. Okay. I guess someone got a little shy or they put their phone down as they use the lavatory. I'll try to get them back on.
Hashtag awkward.
Hashtag awesome.
Hashtag fail, maybe.
Hashtag epic fail.
Now I'm going to bring on...
Hashtag announcement.
I'm going to bring on... now, Ryan, he went to Jersey All-Pro Wrestling with me this past weekend, and very briefly, are you there, Ryan?
I'm here.
All right. Now, Ryan, I really just want to talk about a couple of matches. I don't want to go over the whole thing. The first match I want to talk about is Mia Yim taking on Kimberly. We saw a lot out of both women. What do you think about that match and that feud that apparently will still continue?
I have to say, first off, very impressed. It was the first time seeing Mia Yim. We've seen Kimber a bunch of times. And Mia really impressed me. She was awesome in the ring. And
apparently,
she
uses a jumping guillotine choke. Very impressed with that.
That was very impressive. I have to say, I am excited. What was it, September 8th, this next show? To see the feud continue?
I'm not sure if it's actually signed on September 8th, but the feud is continuing within Jersey sure, Championship Wrestling. I'm not sure. It hasn't been announced yet if there will be a rematch.
Well, from what I had heard, no, that could be happening. So hopefully that's the case.
That could be the case. Now, also, I want to talk about Bandido Jr., of course, winning the Division II championship.
I have to say, you know, it was a great match. Even though I got, you know, abused pretty badly by referee and wrestler alike. So, you know, but I thought it was a great match. Thankfully, I'm not, you know, a certain other person who likes to scream out things at wrestlers that gets them really angry and maybe junk in the face. But, you know, thankfully,
hey,
I'm not that bad. But it was a great match nonetheless.
Great match nonetheless. I think Dan took offense at that comment.
Well, no, then I realized that I wasn't the other person that he was really mentioning.
No, not, you're not the other person I was referring to.
Oh, a friend of the show, shall we say. Now,
yeah.
That match it also involved Josh Daniels. It involved Dixie. So a very good match and a very good inaugural show. They did have a show last year, but they're really getting behind this idea. Big things to come from Jersey Shore Championship Wrestling. What do you think about the overall product that you saw that night, Ryan?
I liked it. I thought they put out a really good thing. Like, I'm a big fan of Josh Daniels. I mean, that was the first time really getting to see him highlighted. He was great. Dixie, that was the first time I saw him, and I heard good things going in. I was very impressed. And, of course, Bandido, we already know, is just friggin' awesome. Am I allowed to say friggin'? I hope I am. He's awesome. And, you know, I just think overall, it was a really good product. I'm excited. We decided to take a shot on it, and I was very glad we decided to take a shot on that one.
And we already have tickets for the next show, so I think big things are coming for him. Now, I do want to, and this isn't for you, Ryan, but I do want to make an announcement. Joe Zanoli did let me know that there are some big things coming. Now, we, of course, have September 15th coming up. That is, of course, at the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club. We also have three shows. That's right, three shows in October.
Three!
October 6th, that's, of course, the K-Cup. The 13th is going to be at Carney's Point. The 20th is going to be at Sports and More in Deptford.
Woohoo!
December 1st, not sure where it is, but possibly more things to be announced. Big things are coming. That was the text I received from Joe Zanoli. He wanted me to announce it here on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. So, see, we use that classic thing of waiting until the show ends and then making big announcements. That's what we do here at Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. But, Dan, quiet. So big things, like I said, September 15th, of course, the 45th anniversary show.
Hashtag don't care.
Yeah, but three big, big shows in October. So 3 weeks coming in October. Dan, Ryan, Mark, we'll have Omega on in a second. What do you guys think about all these shows coming from one of the best independent promotions out there?
Hashtag truly fabulous.
I have to agree with Dan. I mean, you just put it perfectly. You said one of the best independents out there, and you're absolutely correct. They are one of the best, and to get three shows within 1 month is just going to be amazing and fun.
And in all seriousness, I think they will do well at all three. I think they have enough momentum right now that I'm speechless. I'm sorry. I can't put words together.
Absolutely speechless.
No, I'm just saying that they're on a roll at a point to the right now. I was reading Mark's text and things, so I lost my train of thought.
I like that I don't have to leave to go to that weird state, Delaware, to go see
the
NWA.
Exactly. I'd rather travel all the way up to South Jersey, where I was born and raised.
A shower after that.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I mean, and I don't have to be yelled at for putting an E in Delaware.
Well, regardless.
And I don't have to sit next to people who don't like that I actually interact at a wrestling plant.
Heaven forbid we do that.
That's true.
Heaven forbid we do that. We don't want to ruin your very quiet wrestling experience.
In the library, you know.
In your library. And sitting there going, ah.
Now, Ryan, this is for Ryan. We have, apparently, we're going to be part of DWF show yet again. We, of course, did commentary for their last show, Red, White, Black, and Blue.
Sure, that'll be solid.
It did. It really did. We worked with a consummate professional in John Solo. Ryan, shut up.
Sorry.
I cannot say enough good things about John Solo or his air horns. But hashtag shut up, Ryan. Now,
hashtag use a typewriter.
He didn't today. I'm very happy about that. Now, so we're going to be working commentary at the next show. We're going to be joined by Salamander Jones, who is legendary in my mind.
He's anybody with a name Salamander Jones is a legend.
He's legendary in the beard department. That dude's owning it.
That is legendary.
He is owning it, the beard. So, Ryan, what do you got to say about DWF? And we have another opportunity to offer our commentary expertise, if you will.
First things first, let's get one thing correct here. You'll be offering your expertise. I will be offering my novice, needs a lot of work.
Bring your laptop.
Yeah. I'm going to go nice and loud on the typing there.
Good.
You know, hashtag cough, cough, cough.
Hashtag carpal tunnel.
There you go.
Hashtag enough with the hashtag thing.
Well, you know, it wasn't done to death
really
enough.
One more. It's hashtag Garth Vader heavy breathing. It goes for all of us, though, doesn't it?
Hashtag show up.
Oh, no. Now we're getting a little out of control. Let Ryan finish his statement so we can move on to some wrestling news. Go ahead.
With DWF, it was a great show. I had a lot of fun with it. I think it'll be a good time. Especially working with Salamander, that's going to be just an amazing experience for us.
It certainly will. It certainly will. And I'm, I think it's great that you have an opportunity to do these things at this point because you do so much behind the scenes. Thank you publicly on air for what you do. But I got to go. I got to let you go. I got to be an asshole again. So you have a great rest of the night.
I'm staying on and listening to the rest of the show. That's all I'm saying. I'm staying on and listening.
Okay, well, I'll put you on hold then. How's that?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
He does work his butt off when we go to these events, man.
You know what?
He runs around
after the
wrestlers. After the show, he does the interviews. That man works his tail off.
But after the Jersey Shore show, he was in there for another half hour. A guy yelled at him, said, "Get out, you." But he already talked to Fat Frank, the promoter. And Ryan, with balls the size of grapefruits, turns to the guy and says, "Hey, it's okay with Frank." And the guy looks at Frank and says, "Is this okay?" And he goes, yeah, he's good. He's good. He does a podcast. Boom.
Well, there you go. Well, then the other asshole. Oh, whoops. Well, anyway, he said the S word. All right. The other douche canoe can just shut up then.
Exactly. So,
how do you spell canoe?
Not the way you spelled it.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Omega for the rescue. Now, Omega Squad, you've of course been with us in the chat here. I want to talk about some UFC news, some WWE news. Now, first, this is a bit of a spoiler for people, and I'm not even sure if you know about it. Booker T is now the general manager
of
SmackDown. What are your thoughts on that?
I can dig it, sucker.
He can dig it.
I knew he was going to go original with that.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm sorry. sorry.
No, it's
my lame attempt at comedy.
That's okay. It's better than me spelling.
Yeah. it can't hurt Booker T. I mean, it's
better than him announcing.
Yeah, it's better. Yeah, that's where I was going next. You put him in a spot where he's not going to do too much damage. He can get the cheap pops. You know, the comedy thing for the crowd. I think it's fine. I don't see any huge upside to it, but I don't see a lot of downside either.
it keeps him in the limelight, so to say.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, it's truly terrible to... I'm sorry. I mean, I would do better at his role on announce booth.
It's
truly terrible. I mean, there's moments where I'm like, that's the most awesome thing I ever heard. And 3 seconds later, it's like, oh, please shut up, dude.
You know what?
Ray did a better job on Thunder.
I'll put it this way, though. Until you're actually sitting there and actually attempting to call a match, I only work one show, so I'm not saying,
you are an expert, I agree.
When you actually work a show and you're calling a match, it's a lot harder than it looks, because when you're at home, you're like, I could do that. But it takes a certain individual to actually do it confidently. And I would agree, Booker T's not the best at it, but he brings a certain...
Chucky ducky quack quack.
A certain pizzazz.
That's a good word for it.
Now, also, Omega Squad, I did want to bring up USC on Fox.
Whoa.
The what?
Can I ask you, I just wanted to ask you a question. I meant to ask this before you continued, and I apologize. I got a text message saying that McMahon was going to announce on SmackDown that there's going to be a new general. Did that go out online, or was that strictly a social network thing?
What do you mean, go out online?
Was that on the internet, other than the social network? Like, was that online, on the website? Or?
That was on the dirt sheets.
Or was it? Okay, because it wasn't strictly a social network thing.
No, I thought I saw it on Twitter, though.
Yes, what I'm saying. I only saw it on Twitter.
Wasn't it a WWE account, though?
I don't know. I read
it was
from a...
WWI.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just wondering. I'm sorry. I meant to ask you guys that.
Yeah, I just know from the spoilers that I read. Because I like spoilers, Mr. Zanoli. Anyway, now Omega, USC on Fox coming up this weekend. We have a couple pretty big fights. Now the main event, I know Bader's involved. Who's he going against? Because my mind is mush.
Ryan Bader is facing Lyoto Machida.
Really? That's the fight? Wow.
Well, that's the co-main event.
Oh, what's the main event then? Tell me.
The main event is Shogun Hua versus Brandon Vera.
Oh, my God. And that's a title eliminator.
Well, they're actually, I don't know if you've read any of the news this week, but apparently both of these fights have title implications for the light heavyweight division. Basically, whoever is the most impressive gets the next shot at whoever is the winner of John Jones and Dan Henderson.
Wow.
And the crazy thing you think about that is all four of these men have been beaten by John Jones already. So
yeah, you're right. The only person who has beaten John Jones was Mark Hamill, and he's already retired.
Yeah, and that was just by DQ.
With a questionable... He killed Hamill, let's be honest.
Well, he won that fight. It was just a 12-6 elbow, which is a stupid rule anyway, but it's a rule, so he was DQ'd. But, I mean, he had completely dominated that fight the whole way. But, I mean, he destroyed Vera, he beat Bader, he beat Machida, he destroyed Machida. The one that lasted the longest was Hua.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you're looking at. But
do you think he has a chance against I'm talking about Hua. Does he have a chance?
He's got as much a chance as everybody else, but, I mean, this is the second time to the well. What new is he going to bring to that fight? And I would say that about all four of these guys. What are they going to bring different to this, to another title fight that's going to...
That they didn't have before.
That they didn't have before.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Hua... We can say hopefully that Hua had an off night and he can use his jiu-jitsu a little better in a John Jones fight, but I really doubt that John Jones is going to give him that kind of chance.
It doesn't seem like it. I think the best chance of anyone is, of course, 150, Dan Henderson, September 1st. I think that's the best chance because I think he's old enough. He has that veteran wile about him. I think that's really the chance for anyone to defeat John Jones. And you think differently, but...
Yeah, I'm not confident that it's Dan Henderson. I think if you're looking... I think you want to look down the road a little bit and look towards someone like Alexander Gustafsson, who's an up-and-comer. But he is not ready yet. So, I'm thinking two or three title fights down the line that Gustafsson can be a challenger, but... Right now, I don't know.
Well, it did come out earlier this week that Henderson wasn't looking for the H-bomb. He was looking for winning the rounds. Do you think that's a smart way for him to go?
That's probably a good way to go. I think that's actually a fairly good strategy. If you're going to try to win this round, is try to, for lack of a better term, lay and pray.
You know? Yeah, and of course I think Henderson can do that because his last fight was a 5-round war against the aforementioned Hua.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's a good strategy. You know, I said it a couple weeks ago. John Jones is a good, very good wrestler, but he's not an Olympic caliber wrestler. If Henderson can manage to get that takedown and keep his cardio up and last for 5 rounds and can just put his body on Jones, keep him down, put his weight on him, and wear him down, and to your point, win rounds.
Yeah.
He's got to win 3 rounds. And he's got to – you think about it, if I'm going into that fight and I'm taking that strategy, I'm winning the first 3 rounds – and then I'm doing everything in my power not to get a 10-8.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You know, so, you know, I think that's a viable strategy. You know, whether or not it's a probable win is still questionable.
He did have a little trouble that 5th round against Hua. He was completely dominated that round. I scored it to 10-8, so...
Yeah, exactly. That, and that's what would concern me. I mean, and even if you can keep it away from a 10-8, you still got to avoid Jones's submissions and striking for that period. That's 10 minutes you gotta last, assuming you've won the first 3 rounds to start with.
I'd agree. Now, we already talked last week about Belcher and some fights coming up. What big fight are you looking forward to coming up?
Well, I think there's a couple fights coming up that I think are pretty good. One is the lightweight championship that will be fought not this weekend, but I believe it's next weekend. Benson Henderson versus Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, that's at 150. I'm sorry. 151 is Henderson. But go ahead.
That should be a great fight on paper. I think those are some – I mean, obviously it's a lightweight – championship fight. If Edgar manages to win again, I think that's. Do we get another trilogy? I don't know.
I hope not.
I hope not too, because I really do. I'm really kind of getting sick of it. But you know, I mean, I still like Frankie. I think he's a great fighter. I think Ben just brings a different level of athleticism that he doesn't have. You know, Edgar has gotten along by being a scrappy fighter and just a tough guy to put away. And Henderson just brings that level of athleticism that's just difficult to do it. But,
now, Dan, I believe you have a question.
I was just wondering, I've been keeping an eye on, because my girlfriend's been watching the Olympics a lot. Do you think there's a place for, and do you think MMA or that type of fighting will ever be an Olympic sport? And does it have a place in the Olympics with all the other, I mean, there's judo, and do you think there's a place for it?
I'll field it first. I think there definitely should be a place as it rises in popularity worldwide. In Brazil, it's a huge sport. Japan, it's a huge sport. America really catching on a little slower, quite frankly. Canada, it's a huge sport. I think it would be, if you think about the Olympics, you know, the Greco-Roman wrestling, you know, and freestyle wrestling, that sort of thing. I mean, it's a perfect fit. The only thing you would have to, it wouldn't be a cage, I don't think. I think they would actually do it in a ring like they do in Japan. Yeah, like they do in Japan. And most of their MMA fights are in rings. So I think that would be one thing, you know, you have to talk about whether it's a cage, whether it's a ring, judging if it's going to be like the Japanese way, or if it would be, the unified rules that's used in North America, that sort of thing. But Omega, what do you think about that?
Well, as is our custom, I'm going to disagree with you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
you think about MMA, you think about the striking aspect of MMA and the damage that gets caused in these rounds. I don't think you can have a tournament, certainly with that level and that number of participants, that you can have good fights over a 2-week span. I think you got too much of a chance for injuries. I think you've got too much of a chance, just having people that just dude cannot do that for 2, 3, 4 fights in a row within a two and a half week time frame. It's not the type of sport that really lends itself to that type of format in the Olympics. Now, what you could see, and I think could be an Olympic sport, is something like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah,
where the injuries are a lot less. There's scoring that can be made, and there's less of a chance that the person who wins the fight will be unable to continue.
Fair enough.
Yeah, interesting. I've just been wondering because there's all this other weird stuff that
kayaking.
Like, yeah, there's all this handball.
Kayaking.
Not what I thought handball was. there's all these different things that I, quite frankly, either forgotten were in the Olympics or just never noticed before. And I'm like, MMA would be much more interesting here in this spot. But that's just, and I don't mean disrespect to any of the athletes.
Kayaking.
Kayaking, man.
Don't knock handball, all right? One. Dirk Nowitzki.
All the time.
Dirk Nowitzki was almost a professional handball player. Two, might remember an NFL quarterback by the name of Jake Plummer, handball player.
Enough said about that.
Yeah, I'm a professional handball player.
Now, Omega, you're more than welcome, since you stuck with us through the technical difficulties, to stay for what I call the closing comments.
Ah,
yes. Yeah, thanks. So we started out with a French interruption.
That was so awesome.
Now, Mark, what do you feel about this series of interviews that we're going to have with Mr. Ooh-la-la?
Well, he's had such an expansive career, and I'm really looking forward to when we get to the point where he's run out of wrestling stuff to talk about and really just starts listing things in his house.
That should be in a couple years. Yeah,
he was. He was telling us a story about somebody I know that I'm interested to hear the full story about. Off air. So things like that I'm really interested to get into.
But honestly, just really, if you go back and listen to the beginning of the show and him talking about Bam Bam Bigelow, just I don't know, that just kind of cracks me up. That like. Here's Bam Bam Bigelow. We all know Bam Bam Bigelow. And Mr. Ooh-la-la is driving him to the market in a Volkswagen.
And he just fit like, in the Volkswagen.
Just picture that whole, like a picture of those two gents getting out of a Volkswagen Rabbit and then walking into your supermarket together.
I'm getting out of the way. Here, I think you want this milk. I don't think you do, but you take it.
Another thing that I think is absolutely awesome that happened tonight was fan mail, the ongoing segment that we have with Robert Knight. Now, again, very controversial, ripping the lid right off that controversy they have with the Monster Factory.
I would like to know how a building writes an email.
The building's kind of like the evil kit.
I think it was more or less a... in care of the Monster Factory.
Oh, thank you for explaining that, Dean.
You know, that's what I think.
I appreciate that. I assume
that much like in Knight Rider, there's an evil Robert Knight running around with a white leather jacket and a goatee that drives a building.
The evil Robert Knight.
I feel like that's a much better plot line.
I like that plot line.
It's awesome.
Now, where our problem started was with Chris Wilde, but a great interview. He explained pretty much where he's coming from after that War Games. Now, Dan, you were a big fan of the War Games. How do you feel about Chris Wilde and what he had to say here tonight?
Leading up to it, he had a lot of things that he cleared up without even us having to ask questions.
Yeah.
I did not, and quite frankly, there is a lot of stuff going on in a War Games match. I did not see the bag get thrown into the ring, so I did not know that Blackheart was the one that actually brought the fire to the ring. So I have to go back, DVD, ECWAProWrestling.com, coming out soon, and watch the match and see when this happens. We just touched on it because I mentioned it, but this is, quite frankly, wrestling history. They are unifying two titles, and I think... more important for indie wrestling, especially in the area, in the Northeast area, than the I can't talk tonight, man. I'm so sorry. The unification of the WWE and the WCW championship. This is really important. September 15th, is it, or the 14th?
The 15th.
The 15th. If you have not gone and you listen to this show and you keep hearing us say, hey, go, 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 it's 15, you got to get there. We are not blowing smoke up ECWA's backside, speaking as ECWA as a person.
yeah.
As much as Monster Factory is a person, you got to get out to this event. You are going to see history. Whether Papillon loses, whether Chris Wilde loses, this is going to be an historic night.
I'd agree. Certainly the stakes have been raised. It's the 45th anniversary show, followed by a huge announcement that we're going to see 3 weekends in a row ECWA action. That's October 16th, 13th, and 20th.
I wish I could make them to all these shows, man.
Big things. They have November 3rd, December 1st. They have so much going on. Big things coming for ECWA.
Now, at 45 years, in the midst of all that happened in wrestling, like all the stuff you've seen on TV, this company has chugged along, and their 45th anniversary this year, that's incredible.
Certainly is. Certainly is. And they started, the Super 8, the K-Cup. They do a lot of innovative things, and they really don't get the credit that's due to them. Frankly, they don't have a TV deal. They don't have anything like that. They have three or four goons that talk about them every once in a while on a podcast. And
now, do you think that a TV show would do more harm than good to a company like that?
This is a discussion that I've had with Joe off the record, and he feels that when you do that, you have to start giving paper tickets, basically comping people to make it look like it's filled. I don't see the problem if you show people that there's 200 people in a building. I don't know what the problem is with that, but he's afraid of giving out tickets, and that's what causes a decline in some indies that start doing that. Well, if 5 people show up or 500, I think it. But if the quality's good, but they're worried about how it would look on television.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Omega, what do you think about that? Paper and tickets.
Yeah, I tend to think it depends on how much revenue they're going to get from a TV show. If they're not going to get enough revenue from a TV show to offset the loss of revenue from papering the tickets, I think it's you're just setting yourself up for financial failure.
Channel 19 WDTW Wilmington.
Yeah, I mean it's, but if you're on a local station with on a call it a Sunday morning, like I see some independents on, I don't see a problem with it. If you're an independent and there's only 75 people there, well, everybody knows you're an independent. But if you put, like to your point, put on a good product, maybe you get more people to come in and be paying customers later.
Yeah,
that's how I feel. That's how I feel, because I really, and I'm not just saying this to whatever, but ECWA, the product they put on month after month, is A-plus quality. Even their worst show, and I'm not going to name it, but even what I felt was their worst show, is better than most of the other stuff I've seen this year.
And that says a lot.
And I've seen, every weekend I'm somewhere. Sometimes two times. Twice on Sunday. I went to Sports Fest. I felt like going twice on Sunday. Ask Ryan next time you talk to him. My God, out there for 13 hours.
I'd rather talk to... Never mind.
Oh, stop it. You.
No, I was going somewhere else with that. Never mind.
Oh, okay.
No, I was not.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Thank you.
I know where you're going. I know where you're
going. So back off, Jackal.
Okay, I just thought. And then, of course, we had the debut of Ricky, the Model Martinez of MMA. Now,
Hashtag overdone.
Yes, but Mark, how do you feel about Ricky, the Model Martinez? You guys had a good thing going there, I thought.
Me and him kind of like the odd couple, like gorgeous, really looking, fancy looking dude, fat guy with a beard, like.
Don't talk about him like that.
Oh, I see what you did there, but it's not a Papillon thing. So he knows that I like him. We're going to high five later. It's going to be awesome.
I think,
and then he's going to wipe his hands clean with some Purell, but still I'll get that high five.
And then he's going to hit me in the face with it.
Perrier, yep. Maybe he would wipe his hands clean.
You know what? He is good. He's quick.
I really think so.
Great talker.
I think give him a couple years, and I don't know. You could be hearing things from Ricky the Model Martinez.
Say we knew him when.
Yeah. Yeah, and he'll completely forget about Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Who?
He'll be like, you guys got to take that down.
The hashtag guys, yeah. The hashtag guys, I don't know what that means.
Hashtag cease and desist.
Hashtag lawsuit.
Oh, man. You know what? It started out as a forum, in a hidden forum on Rotten Tomatoes. Omega Squad, you were there.
I was there.
Started out me, you, and Elegy, actually. And look what it's become.
Not only was it a forum, but it was a hidden forum.
Look what it's become.
We hid it.
We didn't have a way to advertise.
Yeah, I get it. there's a way. You should open that forum back up. No, you know what? Just go to the ECW Facebook page. It's entertaining.
That's enough entertainment for a lifetime.
Yes.
There. Now,
our bits are second to everyone.
And we also had Ryan Big Burgundy chime in with Jersey Shore Championship Wrestling. Big things coming from them.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how was the show?
Overall, I'd give it 7.5.
Oh, that's not bad.
7.5. First two matches were great. Niles Young, who we will be getting soon on the show, was in the first match. You know, the he's just average guy, Mark?
Oh, I knew who he was.
Okay, just making sure.
That's why I wasn't really that excited.
You no-sold that, my friend. Now, he was involved. Great match.
Where's that one?
Mia, anytime you get to see Mia Kim and Mia Yim, I'm sorry, and Kimberly, that's just a treat. And the main event was off the hook. So I said it, off the hook. Now, the websites you can check out, Dan's already said, ECWAProWrestling.com. Of course, check out NMRWrestling.com and check out JSCW.us. Now, that is Jersey Shore Pro Wrestling. They have a show coming up September 8th. So if you're in the Manahawkin, New Jersey area, check it out. Mr. Olala, you can find on Twitter under at Mr. Olala. Robert Knight, of course, Robert Knight _. Chris Wild is the Chris Wild. And Ricky Martinez is Ricky Model Pro. Now, you can find me at Folsom County. You can find Mark at Go Thompson. Omega Squad is, strangely enough, Omega Squad. Dan Law. Dan Law is Dan Law 83. And what is Ryan's handle? Does anybody have that?
Ryan Big Burgundy.
And no one knows how to spell Burgundy, so good luck trying to find it.
Burgandy.
There's two O's in that, right?
I think so. Oh, behind the scenes, I love
oh,
it.
Oh, with that.
With that, guys.
Let's wrap it.
Next week, Dan, what do we have? Did you listen to me?
D.S.
Yes, we do.
And a second, are we doing French Interruption right away?
No.
Come on.
We're going to have people wait for that. We're going to have people wait for that.
He's not doing anything. Give him his call.
We're going to have people wait.
Okay.
The anticipation.
DS will be chaotic, but it'll be simultaneously just friggin' awesome at the same time, which is redundant.
I'm dying to know if they beat Lego Batman.
Yeah, which is redundant since I heard he said simultaneously, take your Batman quote.
But next week, another great show. Omega Squad, we'll talk. I'm sure I can find a way to... You know, frankly, if you're okay with coming on this late, we'll just do it like that. Yeah.
Well, whatever. It doesn't matter to me.
We should probably plan this off air.
I was just saying.
It's easier for me to do
it right now. That's what I say.
You keep all this in there.
Like last week when the show wasn't in. That was good stuff.
It was funny, though.
And it's like the most listened to episode, my friend.
So I think we should not change. Just stop the show, we'll keep going.
You never know. But anyway.
Hold on, man. How you doing?
It's like a DVD extra.
It's like on the Bret Hart Shawn Michaels DVD on the Blu-ray, there's an extra of them talking more.
Oh, my.
Can we do a commentary on one of our episodes one time?
Oh my god, that is like the best idea ever.
I'm up for that. But we do a video podcast with the commentary.
I just want us talking over ourselves.
With this, Empire.
This, yeah, dude. Dude. We do it live from Brownies?
No, not live from Brownies. We're drinking Mad Dogs at my place.
All right.
I can get them super cheap at work. You
know? At the radio station?
No, the other job.
I know, the other job. Thank you.
It's the one that I want to knock wine down in the aisle.
Okay, for Double D.
Now, we had just a cast of characters. The hell with them all. We'll see you next week.
Radio Gaga.
Let the bodies.
Oh, it's bodies.
Is he dead?
The song was released in 2000.